But today we're going to talk about those things that we can't explain, or that we try to anyways, and that is the intersection of faith and science. What does science have to say about God, about what we believe? We're going to be speaking with a Catholic scientist today, Dr. Gerard Verschuren, about his new book, A Catholic Scientist Proves God Exists. Is that possible? Well, we're going to find out from him what he has figured out. When we talk to our friends and otherwise people who are atheists who say there's no such thing as God, there's a brand new book written by one of my favorite authors. He's been on the show before. His name is Dr. Gerard Verschuren, and he wrote a new book called A Catholic Scientist Proves God Exists. Now, that's a very attractive title because we all want proof. So we're so excited to talk to him again today. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Gerard.
Thank you, Michael. It's great to be on your show.
Thank you. It's great to speak with you again. And the title of your book is very exciting, and I think it'll draw people in based on the title alone. And you've written a number of other books about science from the Catholic perspective. So I think people really enjoy hearing what you have to say. But let's ask this big question right out of the gate. Can science really prove that God exists? Isn't that something that we must apply faith to?
Isn't it strange that we need proof? I know that sounds very strange for modern ears, but why would we ever need to prove that God exists? For many centuries, almost everyone in the Western world knew and believed that God exists. Believing God was the norm. As Psalm 14 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. It's the fool who says that, but normal people don't say that. But nowadays, there is unbelief. The unbelief has become the new norm. So you wonder, what has happened? It was probably the Enlightenment, the French Revolution, and the revolutions like we are going through now. So that could be true, and I think that is true. But some say it's the scientific revolution that caused all of this. Well, I think that is nonsense. Science cannot prove anything. It cannot prove in the sense of absolute certainty with no benefit of the doubt. However, there is always the benefit of the doubt in science.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't science prove or disprove? Though the title of my book says A Catholic Scientist Proves God Exists, but I don't prove it as a scientist. I'm just showing, especially in the first chapter, that science can't prove anything. Science works with hypotheses, and hypotheses are temporary assumptions that we hope are true, and then we test them with all kind of implications following from those hypotheses. And if they turn out to be true, then we haven't proven that they are true. We have confirmed them. We have less or more certainty than before, and that's all science can do. That's one problem. So the scientific revolution did not cause atheism. That is nonsense talk. Why can't science prove or disprove God's existence, you might ask? Well, God is not a material entity, and science works with material entities, by definition, almost. Everything has to be counted, calculated, measured, dissected, but God is not a material entity. He cannot be trapped by some kind of ingenious experiment. God is not a hypothesis that we hold onto tentatively, like in science, and provisionally until we find a better one. That is not the way we can deal with God's existence.
Now, as a scientist, people are very interested to hear from you because people are obsessed with having scientific proof or beyond all reasonable doubt that God is there. What can you offer them as a Catholic scientist? And in your book, A Catholic Scientist Proves God Exists, what can you offer those people who are hungry for some sort of proof or some sort of sign that God is there beyond what they can come to through their hopes?
After I have explained in my book that science cannot prove anything beyond absolute doubt, mathematics can't. What is the secret then of proving God's existence? The secret was basically given by the most important philosopher I know of, Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas, he made those proofs of God's existence. But at that time, there was hardly anyone who didn't believe in God's existence. So his proofs did not try to convince people who were atheists, but there were hardly any atheists. But he came up with proofs that always end with, and this we call God. So he is basically explaining what he means when he talks about God. And how can he prove that such a thing exists? Well, he starts with, as every proof does, it starts with a premise. In mathematics, we have certain premises, like in the axioms of Euclid geometry. And if we accept those axioms, then we can prove that the sum of the angles of a triangle is 180 degrees. If you accept the axioms, you cannot deny that. But in geometry, you have to accept the axioms. So how can Thomas Aquinas come up with an axiom, a statement, a postulate that no one can doubt? And I think his most important one is he has many proofs of God's existence. But the most important one that I spend a lot of time on in my book is that nothing can make itself exist. It cannot cause itself to exist. For if that were true, it would have to exist before it came into existence, which is absurd. Therefore, whatever came into existence must have a cause outside itself that caused its existence. Those causes can be in the past. Your parents are the cause of your existence, your grandparents, and go back in time. But they can also be causes at a deeper level. Molecules are caused by certain atoms in the molecule. The atoms are called by subatomic particles and can go to deeper and deeper levels. And so we can go on. But did we really explain anything by using those causes? Can't we just say those causes go on and on forever? No, we can't, says Thomas Aquinas. For if you do that, then you have what I called in my book, you have an endless series of IOUs. We can have millions of IOUs given to me, but we still don't have real currency. They don't explain that there is money. So when we talk about causes in science, either in the past or at a deeper level, from chemistry to physics, from physics to quantum physics, those causes do not really explain anything, for that whole chain has no foundation for it to rest on. It needs a beam for it to hang on. And that is basically the point Thomas Aquinas is making to us. He says there has to be a cause outside that chain of causes that makes that chain have a foundation, makes it hang from that beam, from that hook. And without that beam or that hook, it can't exist. For if we say that I am caused by my parents and my parents by my grandparents, then we always have to ask, what gave those parents the power to create new generations? Where does that power come from? So we always end up going to a first cause, as Thomas Aquinas calls it. And that is something you can prove. If you accept that nothing can explain its own cause, that everything that came into existence must have a cause, then eventually we will end up with God as the first cause of everything. And no one can deny that. If you accept the premise, the first argument, the first axiom in his reasoning.
Absolutely. We've been talking today with Dr. Gerard Verschuren, author of the new book, A Catholic Scientist Proves That God Exists. And it sounds simple enough, or it sounds straightforward enough, the way that you explain it, accepting that first axiom. Now, the question is, why you are a Catholic scientist, but you are rare in the sense that you don't see many people in science expressing their faith the way that you do. Why are so many scientists either agnostics or non-believers?
Yeah, there are probably many reasons. I can't look into their heart. But all I can say is that when you go to a college today, and when I was teaching there, I saw it in front of my eyes, all you learn is scientific courses. what causes what and how does it do that. Aquinas calls that secondary causes. They never say secondary causes can't exist without a primary cause, a first cause. So why don't they tell you that? Because you have to teach students biology, chemistry, physics, and they have no time for other things. And even if they did, our culture is so against that. Our media against it. Academia is against it. So they don't push for that. Unfortunately, not even in Catholic colleges that call themselves Catholic. I always like to mention Peter Kreeft, a famous philosopher from Boston College. Mm-hmm. He always used to say Boston College is a Jesuit college, but it's not a Catholic college. I didn't say it. He said it.
Yes, I've had Dr. Kreeft on my radio show before. He's excellent. I used to live right next to Boston College in Chestnut Hill, so I was very aware of them calling themselves in their Jesuit tradition is how they would refer to themselves. Catholicism was always questioned. But we've been talking today with Dr. Gerard Verschuren about his new book, A Catholic Scientist Proves That God Exists. And when I'm talking to friends or family members of mine who are non-believers, perhaps they're agnostics, they'll say something like this. They'll say, we don't know yet what we don't know. It's kind of an easy exit that they make. They say, we just don't know enough. Science hasn't gotten enough to tell us how everything works. And there's not enough proof that God definitively exists. So we don't know either way. How do you deal with the agnostic who sort of throws their hands up and says, we simply cannot know?
All I can do, because I'm very limited, only God can give them that grace to see it. All I can do is show them that if they just go by secondary causes, they are missing the whole point. Where do those secondary causes come from? They could not exist without a first cause, without God. And if people say, I don't believe in all these proofs of God's existence, then I say, why not? Because, as Thomas Aquinas says, sometimes unbelief is not in the mind, but in the will. They just don't will. They don't want to see a world with God in the picture. Why not? They have to answer that question. So I say, why are you not willing to look at a world with God in the picture? What is wrong with that? Are you afraid of it? Why would you be afraid? So I ask them questions like that. Why are you afraid to keep God in the picture? Or why can't you look beyond your own little frame of that you learned in science or that wasn't shown to you in science? Why can't you? Why can't you? And I usually don't get an answer for that. Some say easily, I don't really like that idea to have a God. I don't want to believe in fairy tales. Well, I just showed you with the arguments of God's existence that it's not a fairy tale. There cannot be secondary causes without a first cause. The creator of this world made all of this possible. And then, I sometimes mention, I don't like to mention names of atheists, but sometimes you have to, for that rings a bell with them. If you take, for instance, the famous Stephen Hawking, he is a perfect, a very genius kind of physicist, but he has very poor philosophy. They go only by scientific arguments, and they don't go by the better ones. So he says at one point, now that we know about the Big Bang, we know what caused this world. Well, the Big Bang is a secondary cause. Where does the Big Bang come from? He says, oh, the Big Bang created itself. How can the Big Bang create itself? How can you be your own father? How can you be your own parent? It's not possible. So if you say that, then you are basically saying the existence is explained by the Big Bang. But that does not explain the existence of the Big Bang. Where does the Big Bang come from?
Well, we're so grateful to you, Dr. Gerard Verschuren, for joining us on today's program and for putting together the book, A Catholic Scientist Proves God Exists. People can find that anywhere Catholic books are sold or on Amazon or otherwise. Really a great book for people who are interested in that intersection between faith and science. Thank you so much, Dr. Gerard Verschuren, for being with us on today's program.